I'd like for us to consider the topic of compassion. It's going with our theme for this month. We're ending the month and we'll begin a new theme then come Wednesday. Compassion is the deep awareness of suffering of another and a desire to relieve that suffering. Jesus illustrated compassion, and many of the songs that we sang this morning talk about the Lord's compassion for us. In Matthew chapter 14, and in verse 14, it says, he went ashore and he saw a large crowd and felt compassion for them and healed their sick. This then becomes the motivation for why Christ did many of the miracles that he did. Again in Matthew 20, this time in verse 30, Matthew 20, starting at verse 30, it says, and two blind men were sitting by the road, hearing that Jesus was passing by, cried out, Lord, have mercy on us, son of David. The crowd sternly told them to be quiet, but they cried out all the more, Lord, son of David, have mercy on us. And Jesus stopped and called them and said, what do you want me to do for you? And they said to him, Lord, we want our eyes to be opened. Moved with compassion, Jesus touched their eyes. And immediately they regained their sight and followed him. And another illustration is in Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1 and in verse 40, and a leper came to Jesus, beseeching him and falling on his knees before him and saying, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Moved with compassion, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said, I am willing, be cleansed. Not only did he heal those who were sick, his compassion also led him to raise people from the dead. In Luke chapter 7. Luke 7 and verse 11. Soon afterwards, he went to a city called Nain, and his disciples were going along with him, accompanied by a large crowd. As he approached the gate of the city, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a sizable crowd from the city was with her. When the Lord saw her, he felt compassion for her. And he said to her, do not weep. And he came up and touched the coffin, and the bearers came to a halt. And he said, young man, I say to you, arise. And the dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. Even when Jesus taught, we don't often think about it this way, his teachings came from his compassion for us. In Mark again, Mark chapter 6, and in verse 34, when Jesus went ashore, he saw a large crowd and he felt compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. Jesus, even his teachings, was out of compassion for people because we just do not know what we need to do. This is why Jesus is described as being our compassionate high priest in Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4 and in verse 15. Hebrews 4 and verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. We can approach Christ because we know that he has compassion for us. He understands our troubles. And he has compassion on us. And we're expected to follow our Lord's example. Not only has Jesus had compassion on us, Jesus asks us to have compassion on our fellow men. In 1 Peter chapter 3, 1 Peter 3 and verse 8, to sum up, all of you be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. For you were called for this very purpose, that you might inherit a blessing. How we treat others is the way we would like to be treated by the Lord. Jude also tells us in Jude verse 21, when dealing with those who are in sin, he said, keep yourself in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life, and have mercy on some who are doubting. Save others, snatching them out of the fire, and on some have mercy with fear, hating even the garments polluted by the flesh. The reason why we talk to people is not to put them down, but because we have compassion for their state and we wish to help them out. Now, one of the things that characterized the Pharisees all through the gospel is their lack of compassion. For instance, we have the illustration of that Jesus gave of the Pharisee and the tax collector praying. In Luke chapter 18 and in verse 9, he also told this parable to some people who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and viewed others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and was praying thus to himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing from some distance away, was even unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven and was beating his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. I tell you that this man went to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted. Now, it might be true that the Pharisee did fast, you know, twice a week and gave tithes. Perhaps he didn't commit all those sins that he was listing out. But does that explain his contempt for his fellow man? We all struggle with sin. Different forms, but we all struggle with it. We ought to have compassion on others because we're in the same boat. There was a time when Jesus came into a synagogue. And in Mark chapter 3 and in verse 1, it says, he entered again into a synagogue, and a man who was there whose hand was withered. They were watching him to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. He said to the man with the withered hand, get up and come forward. And he said to them, is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save a life or to kill? But they kept silent. After looking around them with anger, grieved at the hardness of their heart, he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand became whole, was restored. And the Pharisees went out and immediately began conspiring with the Herodians against him as to how they might destroy him. They were so focused on their anger about Christ that they never even thought about a benefit to the man with the withered hand. the hardness of these people's hearts grieved our Savior. There was no concern for this man. Their focus was solely on finding fault with Christ. And when that man was healed, notice there was no rejoicing. Just plots on how to kill Christ. In Luke chapter 7, there's an event that involved a sinful woman. Luke chapter 7, and starting at verse 36. Now one of the Pharisees was requesting him to dine with him. And he entered the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. And there was a woman in the city who was a sinner. And when she learned that he was reclining at the table of the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster oil of perfume, and standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears, and wiping them with the hair of her head, and kissing his feet, and anointing them with the perfume. Now the Pharisee, who had invited him, saw this, and he said to him, "If this man was a prophet, he would know who and what sort of person this woman is who is touching him, that she is a sinner." And Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." And he replied, "Say it, teacher." "A money lender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they were unable to repay, he graciously forgave them both. So which of them will love him more?" Simon answered and said, "I suppose the one whom he forgave more." And he said to him, "You have judged correctly." Turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house, and you gave me no water for my feet. But she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss. But she, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she anointed my feet with perfume. For this reason I say to you, her sins, which are many, have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little." Then he said to her, "Your sins have been forgiven." And those who were reclining at the table with him began to say to themselves, "Who is this man who even forgives sins?" And he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Even though Simon failed in his duties as a host, he didn't greet his own guest that he invited. He didn't see to his comfort. And yet he's shocked that Jesus would allow a sinful woman to touch him. And Jesus pointed out this woman gave of herself to care for him, for just his feet. Simon wasn't interested in the forgiveness of sins. His focus was on avoiding sinful people. Well, think about it. How do you teach someone and bring them out of sin if you have no contact with them? Another example is in John chapter 9. John chapter 9 and in verse 24. "So a second time they called the man who had been blind and said to him, 'Give glory to God, we know that this man is a sinner.' He then answered, 'Whether he's a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see.' So they said to him, 'What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?' He answered them, 'I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? You do not want to become his disciples too, do you?' And they reviled him and said, 'You are his disciple, but we are the disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he is from.' The man answered and said to them, Well, here is amazing thing. That you do not know where he is from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is of God-fearing and does his will, he hears him. Since the beginning of time has never been heard of anyone opening the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. They answered him, "You were born entirely in sins, and you are teaching us." And so they put him out. Notice any compassion for this man who was born blind? Jesus pointed out that this man was not blind because of sin. In fact, the disciples had asked about that in back in chapter 9, verse 1. As he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man's or his parents, that he should be born blind?" And Jesus answered, "It is neither that this man sinned nor his parents, but it is so that the works of God may be displayed in him." Why was he born blind? It wasn't because of sin. Yet the Pharisees were convinced that this man was born sinful. As we saw in verse 34, they answered him, "You were born entirely in sins." Yet we find the blind man's, or the former blind man's, thoughts are clear. They're reasonable. And the Pharisees rejected them because of the source. See, the Pharisees thought they were above the poor, the handicapped, the sinner. This is why Christians are told that they must be willing to associate with the lowly. In Romans chapter 12, Romans chapter 12 and verse 16, "Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation." The world is filled with people who just don't care. And they will not associate with those they think are beneath them. In fact, take a look at Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 19 and in verse 7. Proverbs 19 and in verse 7. "All the brothers of a poor man hate him. How much more do his friends abandon him? He pursues them with words, but they are gone." And this is the way the world works. Even close relatives don't want anything to do with a relative that they feel is a failure. We need to ask ourselves, why is it as a people we do not show compassion? Take a look at Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10 and verse 30. Jesus replied and said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell upon robbers, and they stripped him and beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. And by chance, a priest going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite also, when he came to that place, saw him and passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan who was on a journey came upon him, and when he saw him, he felt compassion and came to him and bandaged up his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them, and put him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I return, I will repay you.' Which of these three do you think proved to be the neighbor of the man who fell in the robber's hands?" And he said, "The one who showed mercy towards him." Then Jesus said to him, "Go and do the same." And such ideas continue even to today. Now, every once in a while I hear somebody will complain to me that so-and-so is teaching some false doctrine. And my usual response is, well, have you talked to him about that? Almost every time the answer is no. They've actually never talked to him. It's just something they were told. But think about it. They're willing to leave someone in sin because they're too proud to talk to him. I've seen people condemn for talking to an unimproved person. Why is there an assumption that communication implies approval? How is a person led out of sin without contact and communication? Do we show the compassion of Jesus or the intolerance of the Pharisees? Does a concern pull us to teach even the least sinner? And when our brother stumbles, do we hold him with contempt? We need to examine ourselves. Do we show the compassion of our Lord? I hope you'll think about these things. If there's anyone here today who's not yet a child of God, there's no better time than right now to put on Christ. And for those who are children of God and would like to pray with your brother on your behalf,